You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Don't worry, I'm both rouge and a rogue. So no matter how poorly you spell, you're still covered.
And Daryl.
Yes, some rogues are beautiful, but all rogues are stunning.
Good evening and welcome to episode 173 of The Training Dummies. This is August 20th and we're doing a very, very, very special episode tonight. I guess they're all special, huh?
Yes, they are.
Well, tonight's extra special because we have one of our favorite returning guests, a guest who needs no intro. I guess that kind of ruins my end. Training Dummies, warm, special high five, hand clap welcome for Ann Stigney.
Hello. I'm back, and it's not even like a full lore episode.
It's been like, what was it? I think it wasn't even been like six months.
Oh, yeah, it hasn't been that long since I've been on either. Well,
no, it's
comparatively speaking.
I skipped all the formalities. I skipped how you doing. I skipped all that stuff, mainly because I'm super excited. We've been doing this series that we called Stay Classy, and tonight is all about the rogue stuff. So I strongly doubt that there's anybody who doesn't and who you are or what you're about, but maybe if you want to just give a quick once over for those three people that may be out of the loop.
I'm a senior managing editor at Blizzard Watch. We're a news website, blogging website that focuses on all of the games that Blizzard puts out, but my focus is on like store. Oh my gosh, I can't talk tonight, you guys.
I blame myself. I blame me.
I focus on lore and story development. So I do a column called Know Your Lore every week. I've written some books in conjunction with Blizzard, including the World of Warcraft Ultimate Visual Guide.
I have that.
And then did you get the expanded version?
No.
The expanded version basically updated it up through Warlords. It just updated it. That's all it did, really. And the Warlords of Draenor strategy guide and the World of Warcraft annual 2015. I don't know. I write a bunch of stuff. I talk about orcs a lot.
The list goes on.
Yeah, the list kind of goes on. But I also main a rogue, which I don't get to talk about rogues all that often. So I'm kind of excited because most of the time when people ask me about stuff, they're like, okay, tell us about Legion lore. Okay, tell us about this kind of lore. Oh, tell us about this time it's like rogue stuff and it's the class that I love.
I'm super excited because, like you mentioned, you don't always get to cover it. And I know that, I don't know, I feel like diving into this like class-specific stories has been really fun because even though, mm-hmm. like personally, I've played through all of them, I didn't really soak it in. Like a lot of it, I was like, how quickly can I get to 110? How quickly can I get through this stuff? How quickly can I, you know, I need a legendary piece of gear. I need to get my third relic. I need to blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really like get to immerse into the story. So going back through and doing a lot of these is cool. And I know there's people that just don't touch certain classes. So being able to hear the other class stories is actually really neat too.
Well, and what's really cool with this expansion in particular is that each class has its own unique storyline, mm-hmm. which I kind of appreciate because they're approaching it from, rather than approaching it from faction versus faction perspective, like they've done with, I don't know, every expansion mm-hmm. to date, they're grouping everybody by class instead and kind of disregarding the whole faction conflict, which is only appropriate because we're fighting the Burning Legion. We don't mm-hmm. need to be fighting each other. So it's kind of neat that all of these little classes are kind of getting their own things that they get to do. And I mean, my rogue is my main and has been my main since like Burning Crusade, but I do have a bunch of alts. So I've done Druid, I've done Shaman, I've done Hunter. I did Death Knight, well, part of Death Knight. I didn't do all of Death Knight. Have I looked at anybody else yet? I don't think I've looked at anybody else yet. I have a bunch of other classes that I need to like get caught up on. Oh, I did mm-hmm. part of the Paladin one too.
Some of the stories, like I don't know, like I'm just gonna, I guess, flat out say it. I think some of them are way better than the other ones, yeah. but mm-hmm. but all of them bring something really cool to the table, you know, to each know, specific class.
Well, and that's the thing, is I don't think one of them is particular. I don't think that it's thematically better than one another. It's that they've embraced what that class represents. So when you go with something like a druid or a shaman, it's going to be this epic world-involving event thing, because, I mean, the druids are really keen on the whole emerald nightmare, mm-hmm. emerald dream, that kind of thing. The shaman, obviously, they help shape the world and keep it in balance and deal with the elements of these big, bad, huge, world-impacting things, right? And then you have rogues. And rogues don't do that. Rogues skulk around in the shadows. And they've got their own agenda. So that's kind of what goes on with this one, where, you know, the storyline may not be, it may not seem as big or as impactful, but it's very rogue.
Well, Daryl, did you have any, like, opening bonus questions, or did you want to talk about anything before we get into it?
I don't think so. Just that, no, I don't need to bring my frustrations in with my ISP, and then getting the computer going before we started tonight, and then, yeah, I don't think we need to discuss that.
Yeah, I may have kind of dive bombed past some of that, just knowing that it's been a moment. So
yeah, it has. So no, I think I'm ready to get into the good stuff here.
This is Joe Loader Perez from Blizzard Watch, Lore Watch Podcast, and For the Lore. And you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
Man, he was so professional in that.
Right?
Joe's awesome.
He is.
Joe's really great.
Yeah.
We brought him in because we needed a third for Lore Watch. And I was like, if we're bringing anybody in, we're bringing in Joe.
Yeah. Good call.
He works great as the third chair. And yes. He actually holds his own. Last week, Rossi was out because he was having computer issues. Go figure. So it was just Joe and I bouncing stuff off of each other. That show will be released tomorrow for people
I'm just saying it must be an Edmonton thing. The computer problems.
What?
Oh, the computer problems.
Possibly.
Yeah, I wonder if it's...
I don't know. Rossi's just like shut down on him. It like completely shut down, and then he had to reinstall Windows and everything. It was terrible.
Ouch.
And it did it 2 hours before we were supposed to record.
Oh, no.
He sent me a message and he's like, my computer's busted. I'm like, oh no.
Oh,
luckily he got it back up and running and everything by the time we did the other show, the Blizzard Watch podcast, but
yeah.
He missed Lore Watch, so it was just Joe and I bouncing stuff off of each other, which was kind of fun, you know.
Cool.
Joe got to talk a lot more.
all right, well, we should get into these rogues here then, or rouges, or whatever you want to call them.
Sneaky sneaks.
That'll work too, but they're stunning, right?
I heard they're stunning.
They're all stunning.
They are, in a couple of different ways.
Okay, where do we usually start? Is it with the artifacts?
I was going to let you read this part in blue, but you can start wherever
you want. Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Geez, see, I'm all flustered. Like, my stuff wasn't working when I was ready to go. All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD. All right, Rob, you take it
for a bit. I want to know what we're doing because I'm confused now.
No. Me too.
Okay, so coming out of Warlords, we finished off Archimonde over and over and over and over again. Like millions of wisps descending on to his stupid body after that. So I think kind of everybody did the same thing. We all kind of, like, you know, Khadgar gathered everyone up and we bounced Dalaran around a little bit. So where did the rogue story kind of branch out on its own from there?
Well, the rogues are a little bit different. When you first arrive in Dalaran at level 100, Dalaran in the Broken Shore, Dalaran, you get somebody who says, hey, Ravenholt wants to talk to you. And then you have to go find where the rogues are hanging out. The Rogue Order Hall, do we want to just go into the Rogue Order Hall?
Sure.
Okay.
We don't have to take these in any particular order. So.
Okay. So the Rogue Order Hall is actually, it's underneath Dalaran. You know how in Wrath of the Lich King, you went downstairs into the sewers underneath, and there were two distinct parts, and one side had, like, the bar and everything, and then you go through the sewer pipe, and you be in the arena area and mm-hmm. all that. They kind of did a major remodel, and I love how they call it. It's like the hideout, quote unquote, because it's not a secret hideout. They just built a wall in between those two areas. They're like, we're just going to put some bricks in here and everybody will forget that it ever existed, which you don't. But that's where it is it's down underneath Dalaran. And the cool part, I think, about the Rogue Class Hall is that there are several different ways to get inside. There's secret passages that you can take. You can talk to, there's a blacksmith in the blacksmith shop. If you go upstairs, you can talk to him and you show him your little insignia thing and he opens up the back door and you can like go through and go into the Rogue Order Hall there. You can go into the cheese shop, which of course is run by Atreus, because of course it is. And they're a shady family because of course they are. The cheese man, he knows everything. So yeah, if you talk to him and show him your insignia, he'll go ahead and unlock the door for you. And then out in, so the general goods shop, I think is the general goods shop. You go in and you talk to the guy behind the counter and he actually opens the bookcase in the wall and you could go in that way. So there's three distinct places. The cool part is you know that those doors are there because if you look outside on the signs, there's ravens. There's a raven on each sign. There's a raven on each sign. That's how you know.
I think the cheese shop is my go-to because it's like right over there in between like the Horde Bank and the Blood of Sargeras vendor and a bunch of other like the Horde side of stuff. I think that's, and when you go in through that way, you are like closest to,
you're right there. Yeah, the cheese shop is usually my go-to unless I'm selling stuff, repairing stuff or whatever, in which case I'll take the blacksmith. I rarely use the bookcase room because I'm not on that side of Dalaran. I play a Horde Rogue. So if I played Alliance, I think I would be using the bookcase entrance a lot more. But as it stands, it's like, well, everything is on this side and the cheese guy's cool. It's a wine and cheese shop. Of course I'm going to stay here. This place is great. What I find interesting about Legion, though, is that they didn't go with any of the existing rogue factions. Because, I mean, obviously you have SI7 for the Alliance, and you've got the Shattered Hand were the rogue organization on the Horde side, like way back in vanilla, right? Mm-hmm. When you first started playing a rogue, you would go and you would talk to the representatives from the Shattered Hand and they'd give you a little insignia. And then you had a bunch of quests where you learned how to make poisons and where you learned how to stealth and do all that other stuff that they don't teach you anymore because you just know it. Because I guess you're real smart. I don't know. I miss those old quests. I really do. There are days where I'm like, man, sometimes I miss making my own poisons and sometimes I miss having to have vanishing powder, but then I remember how much I like my bag space. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need all those reagents.
Right. So the Shattered Hand, obviously, it's not really a thing anymore so much. Or at least it's not really brought up so much anymore. And I'm thinking that maybe it's because they didn't want to confuse it with the Shattered Hand that played a fairly substantial role in Warlords of Draenor. Two different things. The Shattered Hand, that's a rogue organization for the Horde, is kind of based on the original Shattered Hand, but it's not the same thing in the slightest. So instead of going with any of these organizations that we already had, all of these organizations decided to come together and form a collective called the Uncrowned. And the Uncrowned is, and I'm quoting here if I remember the quote right, it's the slayers of kings, downfall of empires, the unseen blades that write the true history of the world, or something along those lines. Basically, we are the shadows that skulk in the night, and it's very Darkwing Duck.
Heck yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Gosh, so, now that song's going to be stuck in my head.
Yeah, I know, right? It was like the first time I heard that, I'm like, man, now I'm thinking about Let's Get Dangerous, and that's just going to be here the entire time I'm leveling. So there's an upside and a downside to the Rogue Order Hall. Since it's right there in Dalaran, it's really easy to get to. You don't have to go through like a portal or anything to get to it. You could just go there. A lot of people were kind of upset about the idea that the rogues were just sort of shoved in the sewers, and they were wondering why Ravenholt Manor wasn't the immediate first choice.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like a big, everyone fussing about that.
Well, and the cool part is like, there's perks. There's perks in the Rogue Order Hall, and one of them is Marin Noggenfogger is down there, and you can talk to him and turn in, like, you could pickpocket his lost coin, and you could turn it into him, and he'll give you access to all kinds of cash and prizes, mostly prizes. But when you go in there every now and again, he'll have something special for you. One of them is a toy that lets you turn into an inconspicuous crate, which is amazing.
Sweet.
The other one is a teleportation scroll that will teleport you to Ravenholt. So you could go there if you want.
Okay, I don't think I've gotten that one.
Yeah, it's a random thing where it's a random occurrence when you walk into Marin's area. Sometimes he'll say, hey, I got something extra special for you. And it's either the crate or the scroll, which is pretty cool and everything. I was kind of on the idea of having it in the Dalaran sewers like that. But the more I saw it over the course of Alpha, the more they developed it, the more they developed the buildings. They had like a little hidden staircase behind the bookshelf where you had to like pull the little thing to go downstairs. And that's where the Uncrowned headquarters were at. It doesn't have the size and scope of some of the other class halls. Like the Shaman class hall is big.
Mm-hmm.
The Druid class hall is just massive. It's this massive natural sanctuary up in Val'Shirah. With the Rogues, it's just this cramped little quarters under Dalaran. But at the same time, it's kind of nice that it's cramped like that because everything is really close together. Yes. You don't have to run all over the place. You could just duck in, take care of your business, duck back out again, and you're in Dalaran right there mm-hmm. in the center of everything. So it made sense, and it also, I think out of all of the class halls that I've experienced so far, it's been my favorite in terms of just sheer convenience value.
That does sound
it's
nice.
Right there. Yeah, it's right there.
Other than the low ceilings, I totally agree.
I like the low ceilings. But then I play a Blood Elf, so I'm kind of short anyway on the screen. It doesn't look like they're low to me.
I keep my camera way out, so like anytime I'm moving around, like if there's a low ceiling, it just
feels it cuts like the camera in weird places. Yeah. Okay, I could totally see that being a factor. Regardless, so that's the Hall of Shadows. That's where the Uncrowned hang out. And the Uncrowned have specifically come together and they brought all of these disparate rogue organizations together, including Ravenholt and SI7, also the Bloodsail Buccaneers. Basically, all of these rogue groups that were working independently of each other have all come together under the umbrella of the Uncrowned to help fight the Burning Legion. And they do it the best way they know how. Through stealth and not really letting people know what they're up to. So yeah, the Rogue Order Hall campaign is it's a low impact campaign, I guess, if you want to compare it to the other ones. Because mm-hmm. Shaman obviously has like, you were just talking to Joe last time about the Shaman. The Shaman storyline, you're dealing with like bringing the elemental lords back and you know, working on all this stuff that had been thrown into chaos with Cataclysm, and it's all impactful and everything. With Rogues, it's very much, yeah, we're going to go ahead and fight the Legion, but we'll do it on our terms, and we're going to do it all behind the scenes. We don't want credit or accolades for what we're doing. We don't want people to know what we're up to, honestly, because we might get in trouble for it. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
And it feels right in some ways. And in other ways, it's kind of like, they could have done that a little better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you play a rogue, don't you, Rob?
No, I don't main one, but I definitely keep it up to speed.
Okay, so you've been through all of this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Okay. How did you feel about it? Because it seems like for the rogues in particular, people either love it or they hate it. There's no real like ambivalence towards it, per se. From what I've experienced, anyway.
Initially, I was poo-pooing on it, but the more I did it, I think I got used to it really quick. And like you were mentioning, the convenience of it, it just felt very easy to navigate, easy to deal with. I liked, I liked the going down into the actual, you know, the depths where you pull the lever and you take that final staircase down and that's where all the cool kids are down there. Like it felt very roguish to me.
I think as far as like the artifacts go, well, actually, before we even talk about artifacts, we kind of have to talk about Outlaw. because Rogue's got one really, really, really big makeover coming into Legion.
Yeah,
combat's gone. Yeah, combat is gone. Outlaw is in. In an effort to kind of embrace that whole class fantasy thing, they ditched combat because, of course, it's like combat's about the most boring thing you could name a spec.
Yeah, right.
It means fighter, quote unquote, fighter, which is everybody. So that doesn't sound very unique or interesting at all. Outlaw, on the other hand, gives you a very different kind of perspective. And they kind of went from the whole swashbuckler piratey kind of angle for outlaw rogues and changed up the spec, added some new stuff. You got like grappling hooks and things like that. The weapons, fate and fortune, are really cool, but it's all very piratey. It's all very piratey themed.
I don't particularly think that it embodies rogue like to the core, but I still think it's like it's probably my favorite of the three specs.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
See, I tried Outlaw for a little while, and then I was like, yeah, no, I still don't like combat. I mean, yes, it's got like a new name on it, and it's got some new attacks and a different rotation, but it's still combat. I prefer Assassination. I've been playing Assassination since Trial of the Crusader back in Wrath. That's when I flipped. Yeah, because I was...
Other than Roll the Bones,
yeah,
which sounds cool, that's probably one of the most frustrating RNG-ish based abilities. Like that was enough to actually make me go, and I did go Assassination after that. But I bounced back and forth between the two. Like I want to love combat because it's so, or combat outlaw. I want to love it because I love the theme of it. I love, you know, the calling down the pirate ships to bombard everything, and you know, just, you know, it does feel very, very swashbuckling, like you said, but the RNG of Roll the Bones is enough to completely destroy it for me. So yeah, it's got that going on.
I just wasn't the hugest fan of it, and the pirate thing, it feels like they kind of embraced that whole aspect of it in a really cheesy way, and I'm not so much about the whole cheesy stuff. You know, because you got the Bloodsail Buccaneers, and you have Tethys. Tethys is just like stereotypical pirate. Sounds like he's right out of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride from Disneyland or something.
Nice.
It's like, yeah, I can't take this seriously. And I mean, not that I take anything in the video game too seriously, but at the same time, it's like, dude, show some dignity.
Okay, good point.
But yeah, Assassination has been kind of my go-to, and really, they didn't change Assassination very much at all between Warlords and Legion. Subtlety got a bit of a makeover. It's fun to play. It's still fun to play. It's just not my cup of tea. But the three different artifacts that you can get for Outlaw, because it's this brand new thing, they came up with the Dreadblades. There's Fate and Fortune, and the story behind them isn't really what I would call terribly involved. It's just there was this dread pirate who got these things and she stole them, and you had to go get them back and fight with them, which is fine. I didn't really think that the quest to go get them was particularly lore heavy as far as that goes. But then, like I said, everything that involves pirate dude, it just doesn't come across as very lore heavy or impactful.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah. Subtlety sends you after Gorfang and Akari's Will, and those are they're blades that have been stolen by the Legion. Varisa actually helps you go get them. And it's pretty cool. That one I kind of enjoyed because Varisa was a character from the comics originally. And you may be familiar with Varisa if you played Hearthstone, because she's the rogue hero from Hearthstone. So she was in the comics and everything, but she never really had a role in game. She made one cameo appearance during Battle for the Undercity if you were playing on Alliance side. Other than that, she wasn't really seen anywhere. So it's nice to actually see her in action and doing stuff. And I appreciated that. Assassination is pretty interesting because you're going after two of the most storied blades in Warcraft history, honestly, for rogues. Because these are Anguish and Sorrow, and they are the daggers that Garona used to kill King Lane back at the end of the First War. Yeah, she carved out Lane Rin's heart with these blades. And for me, initially, when I went to go get them, like I transmog other daggers over them. I don't keep their appearance. I don't care what their custom appearance is. Mm-hmm. I kind of find the fact that we're using these weapons that were used to kill a king a little bit too over the top, even for me. I'm like, why would anyone want to touch those? Why would anyone want to be anywhere near those? Why were they even kept?
I would say especially for Alliance players, huh?
Exactly. I mean, especially for Alliance players. If you're playing a human rogue and you're wielding the Kingslayers, you're wielding the weapons that killed your king, like, way back. The instruments of his demise. Like, I can't see anybody actually reacting to that in a good way. And the funny part is, when you're carrying them around, people will comment on the fact that, oh, you got the blades that killed Lane Rand. I'm like, please don't remind me. This is awkward to begin with, and you're just making it more awkward. However, the quest to go get the weapons is actually pretty cool, because Tess Greymane is involved. And Tess is one of those characters that we haven't seen in forever, and it turns out she's a member of the Uncrowned, which is really weird. You kind of have to wonder if her daddy knows about this, mm-hmm. and how he feels about that. I haven't seen them butting heads anywhere in game as of yet, but you have to think that there's some kind of story behind that. Either Gen has sent her into the Uncrowned to kind of infiltrate and see what she could find out, or he doesn't know what she's up to, and she's just down there because she doesn't want to be a princess. She wants to go fight. And either of these are perfectly cool with me. I'm like, you know, it makes Tess into kind of a more intriguing figure, even though she doesn't have a lot of lore behind her necessarily, mm-hmm. this expansion. However, the blades themselves are in the possession of Garona. So you had to go hunt down Garona and find her. She's on a mission to uncover a big bad herald of something or other who ends up being in Stormwind. So you are sent to Stormwind, regardless of your alliance or horde, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to work your way into Stormwind Keep and find this herald that's actually secretly a demon and kill it, and then you get the blades for yourself because Garona says, yeah, you know what? I don't think I really want these anymore. They have too many bad memories.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. They have too many bad memories for you. So you're giving them to me? Thanks. I'll take your gross weapons. Thanks so much, Corona. Nice. It's appreciated.
That's so horrible. Like, nobody wants them, and yet these are passed on to you as, like, your new end-all, be-all weapon.
They're super powerful weapons, and that part I understand, because Gul'dan made them for Corona. So they are super powerful weapons, and they're very effective at what they do. It's just the history behind them and what they've been used for is kind of, it just throws kind of a ugh on everything. Like I said, I keep regular, just plain old daggers transmogged on top of them, and I kind of try and pretend that they don't exist.
Except that for when might you just have to use your artifact ability, huh?
Yeah, the artifact ability is actually pretty cool because, you know, hey, who doesn't like an extra oomph of power to carve things down and stuff? That's pretty cool. Anyway, all three of them, you know, you go to three different spots on the map. Obviously, with the Kingslayers, you end up in Stormwind, and it's a phased version of Stormwind. You aren't actually in Stormwind City. So if you're a Horde player, you don't have to worry about other Alliance players being around.
Or
you don't have to worry about being flagged or anything like that. You're actually in an instance version of Stormwind until much, much later, and we'll get there. that quest. So once you've got the artifacts, you know, you're sent off to go do your own thing, and you do your own thing. And then eventually, over the period of time, while you're leveling, Ravenholt calls you in and he says, hey, there's a body out there and we need to go figure out what's going on with it. And sure enough, in the Hall of Shadows, there's a body in the hallway and you go to investigate it. This part made me so mad.
Uh-oh.
It's Amber freaking Kiernan. And she's been stabbed in the back and she's dead and she has a missive in her hand. And the missive is an encrypted missive. You don't know what it says. Amber's one of those characters that I really enjoyed, particularly when she took more of a leading role in Mists of Pandaria. Mm-hmm. She was the one, obviously, you know, if you're out there doing the Alliance stuff or you're doing, you know, the quest where you're following, you're looking for the white pawn. She's the one, the sharpshooter on the hill.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, that's Amber. That's Amber. And so she had like this pretty substantial role in Mists of Pandaria. And I really appreciated that because her first appearance was like out in Westfall. You run into her randomly. And I was like, cool, it's another SI7 agent because you don't see many of those around. I liked the fact that, you know, there was a bunch more of these SI7 agents. So just to see her killed in cold blood, just dead, I'm like, this isn't, no, you can't do that to Amber. She was just getting really interesting. Oh my God, you jerks. And I was really kind of upset about it. However, the fact that she's dead and she has this missive that's encrypted, nobody can read it. Nobody knows what it says. So the first thing they want to do is, obviously, this was an SI7 agent. We need to figure out who tried to kill her, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you get sent to go investigate and see if you can figure out, like, you follow the trail. You follow the trail to see where it leads. And when you follow that trail, you eventually get to in the Ledger Domain Lounge, the inn that's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's two dudes there, and they're saying, man, I don't know why Shaw ordered her taken out, but we shouldn't have done it in Dalaran. We should have done it in this other place. So it turns out that friggin' Matthias Shaw was the one who ordered the hit on Amber. Like, he wanted her killed. And I was so mad. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is insane. This is the stupidest thing ever. I'm so mad right now. I'm just absolutely livid, right? And so, I mean, I was all caught up in the story at this point.
Well, okay. Then mission accomplished, right? Then if they're tugging at you a little bit. So is there a payout to this then, or where does it go from there?
Where it goes from there is you have two different things that you have to investigate here. First off, you have to figure out why Shaw is ordering hits on his own people. That's weird. And then secondly, you have to figure out what that missive that she was carrying, what does that say? Nobody could translate it. Well, Valera had a good idea, and she knew of, was it Valera? I think it was Valera. I'm double checking here. Yeah, Valera. Valera knew of this artifact called the Raven's Eye. And the Raven's Eye was supposedly this mythical item lost to time that could translate anything or break any code. And we didn't know where it was, but she knew that there were legends associated with it. So she sends you to the Maw of Souls to find one of these legends about the Raven's Eye. And from there you figure out that Ravenholt had it. Not Ravenholt. Raven. Oh my gosh. What the heck was his name? He sent you to Valtara. Or you get sent to Valtara. Blackrookhold.
Okay. Don't you have to go to Blackrookhold?
Yeah, Blackrookhold. The guy in Blackrookhold whose name I'm totally... Ravencrest. Duh. Okay. Anyway, you have to go find Curtalo's Ravencrest and fetch the thing from him. Because he's the one that has it, supposedly. What happened, it's actually this like cool little bit of lore where it turns out that Odin's ravens had this thing. And he came up and he said, wow, that's really interesting. And I think he ended up tricking them into handing it over. And ever since then, those two ravens, they hate elves. They hate night elves in particular. I didn't understand this. All I knew was that when I was leveling my druid, my night elf druid, every time I walked by one of these ravens, they would give me a dirty look. And I didn't understand why this was happening until I did the rogue thing. I'm like, oh, because this night elf tricked you. Okay, no wonder you're mad. Okay, all right, I get it now. That's pretty cool. So yeah, you go get the Raven's Eye. And when you do, you uncover exactly what's been going on. Matthias Shaw is not Matthias Shaw. Matthias Shaw is Deatherok. Now, if you've played Warcraft 3, you know who Deatherok is. You've heard that name before. He's one of the three Dreadlords that was there, that was basically parading around with Arthas before Lordaeron's fall and everything, and before Arthas kind of turned on them and killed them. Mm-hmm. I believe Deatherok was the first one that he killed, that he flat out killed. Either that or Sylvanas did. Did Sylvanas kill him or did Arthas kill him? Regardless, he died. And we thought he was gone, but he was not gone because obviously, if you don't kill him in the Twisting Nether, they just come back again. So he's back, and he's posing as Matthias Shaw, and he's trying to bring down Stormwind from within and you know, break apart SI7 and basically pull all the strings. He's basically trying to pull what's essentially a Scarlet Crusade only on SI7 and Stormwind. Because obviously Scarlet Crusade was being run by Balnazar, who was his other best bud. So it's kind of a cool twist, and I appreciated that part of it. And of course, you know, at the end of all of this, you had to go hunt him down. You had to find Matthias Shaw because he's being held in Felsoe Hold, and you have to get him free. And once you get him free, then you have to go take care of business. And it all ends in this really huge, like, epic sort of thing where you kill him, and then everybody's like, yeah, you're the best rogue that ever rogued. We're going to call you the Shadowblade. Cool. Thank you for helping us. And yeah, Shaw's like, I'm going to join your team because I'm real impressed by you. And you're like, yay, okay. So it's not like this worldwide sort of, oh no, global threat, we have to fix this. Or, oh no, Emerald Nightmare is looming, we have to fix this. Or, oh no, the elements are in chaos, we got to fix this. It's just rogues working behind the scenes because there's bad things going on. There are demons to kill. We need to take care of those demons. We need to fix the world. But we're going to do it, you know, our own way. And I appreciated that. I liked it. I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. I was a little bit upset about the loss of Anne McKiernan because I thought that she was a really cool character that they didn't really give much of a chance to beyond that feature in Mists of Pandaria. And I was sort of looking forward to seeing more out of her and the other SI7 agents that were involved with that. So, the fact that she's just, oops, nope, she's gone, it makes me, I'm just annoyed. There's a few characters like that in Legion where I'm like, wait, no, you killed them? Come on.
Yeah,
why did you do that?
There was a little bit of the Game of Thrones treatment going on, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of them were appropriate, like Varian. On the one hand, I was really upset because I thought Varian had a lot more story left in him. On the other hand, if there was any way that Varian Wrynn was going to die, that was the way he was going to die. And it was wholly appropriate. Yeah, it was absolutely appropriate. I'm upset about it, but I'm not too upset about it because it felt like, okay, yeah, this is a fitting end for that character. Vol'jin just made me straight up mad.
I don't know. I still think that there's something that is lingering there that's not done with yet either. Not saying he's alive, that he's still alive or anything like that, but I do feel like maybe like some transformation to Alola or something like that. I don't know.
Vol'jin, the reason that I was upset about Vol'jin was because we had just started seeing him advance as a character beyond, oh, I'm the leader of the Darkspear. All of a sudden, he's got his own novel. He's got his own motivation thing going on. He's the leader of the opposition against Garrosh. I mean, he had all kinds of cool stuff happening. And at the end of all that cool stuff, they're like, hey, you're going to be War Chief of the Horde. And I'm like, cool, Vol'jin's going to get some character development. And no, we went to Draenor and we heard from him like twice. He like used phone a friend just to check in and see how we were doing. So, yeah, buddy, you're doing a good job. Big thumbs up. I'm back on Azeroth doing whatever it is I do. You don't know what that is, but it's something cool probably. I don't know. And then we get to Legion and it's like, bye.
Put it that way. We didn't even get to see
what kind of war chief he was going to be. That's what irritates me, is we didn't get to see what kind of war chief he could be before he was gone. And now Sylvanas is in his place. And don't get me wrong, that's kind of a fascinating prospect in and of itself because her?
You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yep. Personally, I'd take her. I like her, but I don't know.
What I find fascinating about it is because it is that whole final scene there where he says, I talked to the spirits and they whispered a name, Sylvanas. And it's like, well, why did they whisper that to you? What's going on here? And that's, you know, when you were saying there's probably something more there. I kind of feel the same way just because his final words that he delivered, it was very much kind of an open-ended, okay, why? Are we going to find out why? Are we going to find out, like, this is weird. There should have been more there. What happened here? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there was no supplemental book or anything. And it seems like it was a long time ago now. So, I don't know if that's ever going to get addressed.
I really don't know. I kind of hope that it does. So after you get all of this stuff done, obviously, you know, you're the Shadow Blade. Everybody loves you. Everything cool is going on. And then we get to 7.2.5 and the Broken Shore and all of that and the Mount Quest chain, which is kind of more of the same.
I think that's what frustrated me is that it didn't. It was exactly that, just more of the same.
It's more of the same. Basically, you find out that, oh no, there are more demons that are hiding in plain sight, just like what was going on with Shaw. Only these aren't demons so much. It's like they're undead operatives that have been crafted by the Legion, and they're so lifelike that we can't tell. We just can't tell. Mm-hmm. So you're sent around the world on this whirlwind escapade to get rid of a bunch of these agents, these marks. And if you are Horde, well, okay, if you're Alliance, you're sent to the Horde capital cities. If you are Horde, you're sent to the Alliance capital cities. You are not in instance versions of these cities. You are in the live cities.
Yeah, it's nasty.
With the live players. And you have to kill their NPCs because you know that this is an undead monstrosity, even though the Alliance might not be aware that this is the case. Now, it starts out okay for Horde players because you're sent to the Exodar. And who's in the Exodar? Nobody. Nobody's there.
Like level 10.
The most traffic that the Exodar has seen was when you were in the instance version of it doing the Light's Heart thing.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like the live version, there's never anybody there. It's just blank canvas. There's never anybody there. There's going to be more people there once we hit 7.3, but that's a different story. So you're sent there. You had to kill a dude. That's okay. You kill a dude. And then they say, okay, now you need to go to Darnassus. So you go to Darnassus and you have to go up to Warriors Terrace, which again, Darnassus, not exactly the most populated area for, you know, for the Alliance. So you don't have to worry about it too much when you're playing a Horde player, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of NPCs, but it's not bad.
Right. Your next mark is in Ironforge. Not only is it in Ironforge, it's in the center of Ironforge, in the room where the Dwarven Council is currently sitting. You have to kill a dude there without hopefully attracting the attention of too many guards while you're killing this guy. And God help you if you accidentally aggro Moira or any of the others that are sitting up on the dais, right?
Ouch.
But that's not the worst. That's not the worst. No, the worst is immediately following that, when you have to go to Stormwind City. It's not just Stormwind City. It's the auction house in Stormwind.
Main,
and it's not the auction house.
Main.
Yeah, it's not the auction house back in the Dwarven District where it's safe. No, it's the one right in front where everybody and their mother is parked. And you have to kill an auctioneer.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Which is a throwback to the days of Vanilla WoW when we used to get rogues that would do that all day long.
Yeah.
They'd just hang out in the auction house and kill the auctioneers, just grief people. Okay, this time you have to do it because it's an undead person. But as far as anybody else is concerned, Alliance side that's actually playing the game and trying to do transactions, you're being a troll.
It's like they did it on purpose, I think.
Oh, they did. Awesome. Absolutely. It was specifically a throwback to that moment. And it was painful. It was probably, like, on the one hand, the worst thing that ever happened. Because if you get killed in Stormwind as a Horde player...
The run back.
Yeah, you res all the way out at, like, the little stable farm place at the other end of Elwynn Forest, and you had to run.
Oh, no.
And it's like it's a 10 to 15 minute run where you're just like, I hate my life right now.
So here's what, do you want to know what I did?
Yeah.
All right. So this is totally, if anybody's listening and they want the easy way to do this, you need to have a friend named Jab, who is super, super geared and super pro on his rogue. And even though he's already done the quest, he can still run in and kill the stuff for you while you park on top of the auction house building, and you'll get credit for it. So
see, that's cheating.
That's how you do that.
I went the other route. I had a friend on Discord who had an Alliance alt who decided to hop on the Alliance alt and act as my spy on the inside.
Oh,
and let me know when the coast was clear to get inside. And I did this in the dead of night when there were very few people logged on because there was no way I was doing it midday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it ended up feeling very rogue that way. So Horde side, it's okay because it starts out really light and then it just progressively ramps up in difficulty. I feel really, really exceptionally bad for any Alliance player, particularly Alliance players on role-playing realms, because your first target is in Silver Moon City. And guess where all the role players are hanging out on Horde side?
Well, yeah. There's no flying or anything.
I feel really bad. I apologize to all Alliance players that had to go through that. However, the Raven was totally worth it. So the cool part is that, you know, once you finish all of this stuff, they're like, yay, cool, you fix things. You go, you get your mount. It's the Raven. The Raven is great. There are different color variants of the Raven that you can purchase as long as you have your artifact maxed out in that spec. Mm-hmm. I went deliberately out of my way to max out my artifact in all three specs so I could buy all of the color variants because I like them. I think they're pretty.
I think the mounting animation for the Rogue mount is one of my favorite ones too.
It's pretty cool. There's like that swirl of darkness or whatever, and then poof. The only small minor complaint that I have about the Rogue mount is that it doesn't sit. It just hovers.
Right. And you're just kind of like there, just hovering.
I'm like, it's a bird. It can perch. Just make it perch. Come on, guys. Yeah. You did it with Pepe. You can do it with a bigger bird. It's fine.
Now was the whole thing of like going down to Fel Soul Hold and planting those bombs, was that part of this quest, or was that after that?
Fel Soul Hold, you had to go to Fel Soul Hold to get Matthias Shaw out, because that's where they were holding him prisoner. So it was before that. Basically, you had to create kind of a distraction so that you could get to Shaw and get him out of there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which. I kind of appreciated that. And when you're done with all of that, see, if you did the assassination quest chain, right? During the assassination quest chain for the artifacts, you run into Matthias Shaw, and he's not very happy that you or Garona are anywhere near Stormwind, and he very much wants you out. So when you go in there to infiltrate and find this Herald, this Legion dude that's basically infiltrated the keep, you're doing so against Matthias Shaw's wishes. And when you finish, he kind of grudgingly tells you, okay, well, I guess I'm glad you're here, whatever. And then you leave. So it wasn't really a very good impression of SI7 or Shaw. But I don't know if he was replaced by Deathrock before or after that moment. And if it was before, if he was Deathrock all along, well, no wonder he didn't want you anywhere near Stormwind.
I can't remember, but that would have made sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no wonder he didn't want you there. No wonder he was like, we'll take care of this ourselves. Get out of here. But when you save him from Fel Soul Hold, he immediately says, yeah, I'm going to follow you around, and becomes one of your champions, which I thought was pretty great. He also hands over some pretty choice equipment for your followers if you talk to him down in the Uncrowned territory. I don't know how I feel about the Uncrowned in general. I think that it's interesting that all of the rogues are just sort of together. I don't think that after Legion they will stay together. I have a feeling they will very much go their separate ways and kind of disappear into the shadows, as rogues are wont to do. But for the purposes of Legion, it's pretty cool. I don't know. I like how they're all working together. Even though some of them are a lot goofier than others.
That kind of thread seems to be running through a lot of the classes, though. And some of them, they seem fine. Like, the DK one has always been, like, this is where all DKs hang out. You know, we all go to Acheris, and we all... Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Alliance Horde.
Monks are kind of the same way. Yeah, Monks have always had the Peak of Serenity, and of course that's not a thing anymore, so now they have the Wandering Isle, but it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. It's all the monks coming together to practice in one spot, regardless of whether you're Alliance or Horde. Okay.
So there's been that same theme, though, where it's we're gonna do this together, and like, I don't feel like that's gonna stick, though, for several of the classes.
This is kind of a temporary thing where it's like, okay, well, obviously the Horde and Alliance aren't gonna work together. We're going to work together ourselves because we know what our strengths are and we know how to best apply them to defeat this big thing that's threatening the entire world. And we have a vested interest in making sure that that doesn't happen as a class. And that's something that extends beyond factions, you know? That's one of those things that I always thought was interesting. I have a Know Your Lore that's going live tomorrow where I'm talking about Rathian. It's a tinfoil hat. I'll warn you right off the bat.
Those are the best kind.
A lot of it is speculation, but one of the things that I kind of called back to while I was talking about it was when you end that legendary quest chain in Mists of Pandaria, and he has that conversation with Tong, right? And he says, "You're just a waiter." And Tong's basically just reading him for filth, right? He's just reading Rathian for filth. It's like, you don't know anything. You haven't learned anything. This is how it's all laid out, okay? These guys aren't weak because they're strong. They're not strong despite each other. They're strong because of each other. Because if there comes a point where there's a big bad, there's something world-threatening, they will work together to beat that world-threatening thing. Mm-hmm. And when that world-threatening thing isn't there, will they beat the heck out of each other? Yes, they will. Because if they sat still and they held hands and they made daisy chains and they went and sang Kumbaya, would they be strong enough to beat that big bad thing? No. So, yes, they're going to fight with each other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of perpetual.
You can't just make one bow to the other. And I don't think that was something that Rathian realized, because what he was trying to do was he was trying to get one side to conquer the other. Okay, well, logical, I guess, but it's not going to work. Not on Azeroth. And I don't think that Rathian really understood that. Well, this is the same kind of concept as far as Legion goes. It's like, okay, there's the big bad thing. We've got to work together. But instead of, you know, the two factions coming together, because that's just been kind of awkward. It's been kind of awkward since Mists of Pandaria. It's just the classes. The classes are working together, and they don't care what your faction is. If you're a rogue, you're a rogue. It's all good. If you're a druid, you're a druid. It's all good. Mm-hmm. And I like that aspect. I like that aspect of Legion's story, where it's kind of pulling people together in a different kind of way. It feels really good, particularly on the heels of Warlords, where we saw nothing but our garrisons for like a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, 2 years.
Rogues don't have anything. I mean, I've played in 7.3 a bit on the PTR. I have not unlocked the third and final zone in the area as of yet. I'm waiting for a work order to return. Not a work order, but a mission. I did a mission table mission, and I think that's going to unlock some other stuff. I don't know. I'm waiting for them to come back with the whole success, and something's going to happen. I don't know what, but as of right now, there's no new. It doesn't look like there's any new class-specific stuff on 7.3. Mm-hmm. Is there story? Oh, God, is there ever story? It's so good. It's so very, very good so far.
I can't wait, yeah.
It's very, very good so far. I haven't run into like the big spoilers at the end because I haven't gotten there yet. But everything that I've encountered so far on the way has just been like, oh, stuff I've been waiting to hear about for years. So there's nothing class specific, unfortunately. But I think I've ever felt better about playing a rogue than I have this expansion, because it feels like this is the place where we fit. We fit underneath the city. We fit in the shadows. We fit in the places where other people aren't going to go or aren't willing to go. And we do the things that maybe people aren't quite willing to do for our own motives, for our own reasons. But, you know, when push comes to shove, would we like the world to survive? Yes, because we couldn't keep doing the things that we're doing if there was no world to do them on, you know?
Was there anything like rogue specific to any of the Illidan or like the Khadgar stuff that's been going on?
No, not really. We aren't really, you know, dipping our hands in any of that. You've got the very specific Light's Heart stuff that obviously happens with everybody, where, you know, you go to the Exodar, you help out, you go down, Rakish is there, and you murder him, and then Velen cradles him and cries over it, and it's very sad. But that's the thing that everybody goes through their class hall campaign. So you talk to Zira and she's like, rah, rah, Illidan, go check out.
I'm beginning to think the Demon Hunters were the only ones that actually had any like kind of repeated communication.
It's possibly that's possible.
It makes sense
entirely possible. Because the Demon Hunters have a very direct connection to Illidan Stormmage that none of the other classes have.
You get to basically, I guess, FaceTime him a couple of times throughout the thing, and you know, you guys are kind of calling back and forth, and then, but it all leads to the same point. You know, I don't know. There was nothing that happened that really like blew that out of the water or made that story really special. You know.
Yeah, the only stuff that happens with Khadgar is the same stuff that happens, that always happens with Khadgar on the Broken Shore, where he's like, okay, you need to go back to Dalaran and you talk to them and you do a couple errands for them, and then they empower your weapons so that you can unlock more stuff on mm-hmm. it. And even then, that's not like super, super lore heavy or anything. It's just, it's there.
Well, and most of those are shared between a lot of specs anyway, so it's none of it's unique. It's just furthering the same story between, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Which isn't, you know, it's not bad or anything. It's okay.
Well, I really like how many unique stories and events have happened between classes.
There's so much.
I don't fault them for recycling a little bit of it between classes or specs. You know, what do you think is probably your most favorite thing about what they've done with Rogues this expansion?
I think I appreciate. Like, are you just talking about like the coolest thing, like mechanics wise, or are you talking about the coolest thing lore wise, or
any of it, anything that they've done with the story, or any, like revamping, or
I like the feeling that I like the feeling of the Order Hall. Honestly, I didn't think that I would like it, but it's easily become my favorite Order Hall in Legion, just because again, there's the convenience factor, but above and beyond that, there's also this feeling of camaraderie that didn't really exist before. Like, the Rogues never really... Ravenholt was there. Ravenholt Manor was there. But it was never really a big thing mm-hmm. in World of Warcraft. It was, like, the place that you went. It didn't really get, like, a feature-starring role in anything until the Rogue Legendary Chain back in Cataclysm, mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden you went to Ravenholt and, oh, there are things happening at Ravenholt. There's like this snotty little black dragon there and he's sending you out to do all kinds of things. And by the end of it, the whole place is in flames. Red dragons have been attacking. There's just like a lot of stuff going on there that's actually pretty cool. But you've never really felt, I don't think I've ever really felt like I belonged to a specific class or anything. It was just, if you saw another rogue, you kind of did that whole head nod thing. Like, hey, mm-hmm. buddy, what's up? Killed any auctioneers lately? Didn't think so. Yeah, and then you go on your merry way. So I kind of appreciate that it's like, oh, there's like this den. There's like this of villainy and scum, and you know, we're not yeah, villains per se, but you know, it's like all the shady stuff goes on down here, and it's our secret clubhouse, and we all have the secret handshake, and we know who to talk to get here, and it's all right underneath the feet of everybody else in Dalaran. I love the feel of that. I kind of appreciate that they went to the extent that they did with the different rogue daggers. Like rogue weapons, two of them are daggers and one of them is swords. The Dreadblades are beautiful. They're beautiful weapons. I sort of wish that I liked playing Outlaw more because I do appreciate those swords and I think that they're gorgeous models, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And despite the fact that I'm uncomfortable, like I'm continually uncomfortable with the Kingslayers, I do appreciate that we got to see like a little more about their history and where they came from. And I think that goes almost for like every class though, where, you know, you get your artifact knowledge and you have that big book and you can read through the book and you read about the lore about your weapon. Each of those stories is fantastic. The rogue ones are great. The druid ones are great. If you haven't taken the time, like if you've just gone through and you sent one of your alts the little catch up thing that lets them get to like artifact knowledge 40 or whatever, and mm-hmm. they can go on their merry way.
Yeah.
Don't go on your merry way just yet. Go look at that book and read the stuff that's there, because there's a lot there about those weapons and about the history of Azeroth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that a lot of people notice that kind of thing. And that's not really rogue specific per se. That's just like for every class. I feel like everybody should be reading these books because they're really great. Like they're super great. You guys, if you haven't read them, you really should be reading these. Insofar as like rogues though, I love that we got things to play with. Okay. I love that Grifta made a reappearance and now we've got this whole thing going on where we can get coins of air. We could buy cool things down there. We could pickpocket people and get more stuff from a pickpocketing. The whole thing with Marin Noggenfogger where you can talk to him and you bring him a coin and he's like, oh, hey, cool. Thanks for that. Go pick out something nice from the vault. And you go pick out something nice from the vault. It's like, it's pretty cool. I love the fact that the treasure scenario from the Isle of Thunder. Do you guys remember that?
I think so. Now that you mentioned that, I kind of do.
You got the keys and you could go in and it was like a timed thing.
Yeah,
and you had to get as many chests. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that went away after Mists of Pandaria. It's back again for rogues.
Okay.
One of the things that you can get from Marin is you can get keys to the vault. So you can go back there and you can do the treasure scenario again. And one of the, I think it's Subtlety's hidden appearance is in one of the chests at the end of the whole thing, so you just get a random chance to get it every time you do the treasure scenario. But I loved that thing back in Mists of Pandaria, so I love the fact that it's back again. The fact that you could get the toy, like the inconspicuous crate, is just absolutely hysterical. The fact that you can get, there's just like all kinds of little things in the Rogue Order Hall and little things that the rogues can do that feel very rogue. I know one of the things that they had kind of like hyped up before Alpha even was they were like, oh, rogues get to play a pickpocketing game in their class order hall. That never happened, but you can go pickpocket people now and you can turn in these coins of air that you get for these items to get cool things like different masks for transmog and that kind of
stuff.
You
know, I was going to ask about that. Why, like, okay, so you get that weekly quest that basically it's free 5,000 gold. Like, I don't understand how rogues get that and nobody else gets any sort of like, just a free chunk of change every week.
Oh yeah, no, I really appreciate that too because I'm like bankroll. You don't know, I have so much gold on my main right now. So the coins of air thing is basically what you do is you're supposed to like you go around and you pickpocket, and they've actually streamlined pickpocketing this expansion, and I really appreciate that too. You pick up cool items, but those cool items are immediately converted to coins of air, and it's not something that you carry in your bags. It's just currency on your currency tab. And you can take that currency and turn it in for, there's a couple of toys, like a bag of masks and things like that. There's several different variety colors of masks that you can get to wear, like cosmetic items for transmog. And then Grifta has this thing where he's like, hey, if you don't want those, I'll take 10,000 of these coins and I will give you 4,999 gold for those 10,000 coins. And every week. Yeah, it's once a week. You can do it once a week. You can turn in repeat stacks after that, but he only gives you like a gold. Mm-hmm. So you only get the big 5,000 gold once a week. Oh no. See, if I could do that repeat times, man, dude, I'd be like maxed out.
I have a little spot in Suramar where I go through and just pickpocket.
That's the best way to do it. If you're playing a rogue character and you're wondering, hey, how do I pickpocket? Go to Suramar. Just go to Suramar. Make a circle around the market area down there where all the daily quests are at. Just make a circuit, pickpocket everything in sight. By the time you're done, you'll have like 40 to 50,000 of those stupid coins. And you don't have to go do it again for another few weeks. It's pretty great.
I love it.
It's so easy, and it's just free gold. Oh, what's something that you think maybe could have been done better than with the rogue story in general?
I'm still kind of upset about Amber Kiernan, but I kind of went over that already. I think that she was a character that probably could have had more use, and they just sort of used her as a throwaway, and I didn't like that at all. But I already talked about that. So instead, I'm going to talk about Outlaw, okay? Outlaw, I appreciate what they were trying to do. I appreciate what they were going for. I like the idea that one of these rogue specs, because I mean, you do have, there's like different types of rogues. You got the ninjas that are like, oh, they're sneaky and everything. And then you got the masters of poisoning and subtlety and all that. And, well, okay, they're not subtlety because it's not subtlety spec, but you know what I mean? Assassination. Mm-hmm. And then you've got that third spec, and that third, or that third type, you know, that kind of archetype of rogues is the pirate, the swashbuckler, the three musketeers, the dude, you know, the Zorro, that kind of guy, right? Mm-hmm. And they hadn't really embraced that aspect of that rogue archetype. So I kind of appreciated that they decided to go there with it, because it feels, it definitely feels a lot more distinct and unique from just combat. Because what is combat? Combat is a thing that everybody experiences. There's nothing unique or special about this. So I appreciate that they went for it. At the same time, I feel like instead of treating it from that cool kind of serious angle like they did with subtlety and like they did with assassination, where it was like, yeah, you're a total badass. Can I say that on the air? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Totally. Okay. See, like, you're this totally cool badass of like, infiltration and, you know, subtlety and all this other stuff. You know, you're great. Instead of that, they went with the overtop camp route where they tried to make it funny. And they tried to make it over the top funny. And I don't think they needed to go there. I think that they could have gone a different direction with it. I think that they could have gone with the whole suave and debonair buccaneer kind of guy or gal, as it were, you know, mm-hmm. instead of going over the top camp in the direction that they went with Tethys, maybe if they wanted to take it from a camp angle, take the camp angle and lean more Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean, if you want to, you know, like go that route with it where he's a little goofy, but he's still a badass. Or just, I mean, go the whole Black Sails route with it. I mean, look at history, there's so many different ways they could have gone with it. And I feel like the way that Outlaw's storylines went, the way that their quests went, it didn't feel like, it felt like they were throwing some slapstick in there, like we needed that. And I don't think that we needed that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a rogue rolls a rogue to play a slapstick character. Usually when somebody rolls a rogue, they're like, I want to be the sneaky sneak. I want to be the thief. I want to be, you know, the Assassin's Creed dude standing at the top of the building while all the cool music play, you know.
Yeah.
That was the thing that kind of disappointed me. And I think I appreciate the spec, but what you were saying about Roll the Bones, how it's very RNG. Yeah. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I have the artifact. I have the Dreadblades. They are maxed out. I will swap to that spec. The only time I swap to that spec is if I want to grapple hook somewhere.
See, that's why, yeah. Like, even just going into the in through the cheese store. Like, right when you pop in there, you just grapple across and you're right there. You're at your mission table. You're like everywhere. You don't have to run around.
I do have to say that Suramar feels very, very different as a rogue player than it does to anybody else, I think. Because, I mean, I just said it, Assassin's Creed. Suramar is like Assassin's Creed rogue. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
it's almost made for the rogue class, and it feels... It felt amazing playing through all of the Suramar storylines because, yes, you had your disguise and everything, but on top of that, you had stealth. And there were grapple points all over the city where you could get up and, you know, skulk around on the rooftops and stuff. And it just felt really good doing all that stuff as a rogue player. So that part really worked for me, even if some aspects of the rogue storyline didn't quite work for me. Outlaw.
I think flying changed a lot of that too now, though.
Like,
none of that stuff that was, like, tense and gave you those moments of, like, I can't screw this up. Like, that's kind of all out the window now.
It is, to a degree. And I kind of recommend anybody that's approaching Suramar for the first time, go through it on foot. I mean, if you've earned flying, you don't have to, I guess. And if you've earned flying, then you've obviously done Suramar the correct way around. So I guess you've kind of earned the reasonable amount of skipping that you can get by just having a flying mount in Suramar. At the same time, I think the best way to appreciate Suramar is from the ground, because there's so much detail in that city. It's so beautiful. That was easily one of my favorite parts of Legion, probably my most favorite part of Legion so far.
Just running around some of those areas, hiding, and you know, like not even as a rogue, but like any, you know, like I ended up going tank spec for most of that stuff just because it was dangerous, you know.
That one dude that says, "Who goes there?" or "An illusion, what are you hiding?" Like, yes. The minute you hear that, it's just it's Pavlovian, I swear. It's like hearing a fell reaver.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Crusade.
Yep.
Except it's so much worse, because it's not one giant angry robot. It's a lot of angry elves. Very angry elves.
Yeah, they all descend upon you.
Oh, I love Suramar.
Well, was there any like cool spoilers or any fun stuff that maybe people haven't seen yet or can look forward to that you want to share?
Rogue-wise, no, because like the future content stuff, it's not really class focused. It's more focused on Argus, going to Argus. So specific to rogues, no, there's not really anything specific to rogues in 7.3, although there's a lot of dudes that you can pickpocket, continue to pickpocket, and cash in on your 5k per week.
Yes, I do it every week.
If you haven't done those quests to unlock the dude, like if you haven't done Grifta's quests, since he showed up with the quests and I think it was 7.25 that they popped up, go do those quests, guys. Like, seriously, get them done. It just takes like a trip or two around Suramar and you're golden. And you're making 5k a week. They just hand it to you. If you're not doing that, holy cow, you should be doing that. And then every day when you go into the rogue class hall, make sure you walk back to where Marin Noggenfogger is at, because he doesn't give the little shout thing until you actually zone into his area.
You have to be like right up next to him.
You have to be there, and he'll say, and even if he's not there, he'll say it even if he isn't there. You'll see it in your chat logs. He'll say, "I've got something special for you," and you'll either get the toy or you'll get the teleportation scroll. The other thing is you want to keep your eye out for is when you pickpocket, make sure that you return Marin Noggenfogger's coins to him, because you can get special transmog gear from the coin chests that you can open if the coin chests are an option. And it's gear that we haven't seen before. And it's really nice gear, too, for transmog. I love transmog.
I've heard
the trial of style before. Has been my favorite thing.
Oh, I tried that today. I was having a blast. I didn't do very well, but I loved
it. I saw a funny, it might have been on Reddit, somebody posted, like, they had a picture of themselves, and it was, like, this really well put together, this really awesome, you know, really good-looking transmog, and he's like, "This is what I did, and I lost to this," and it was just, like, a buck-naked dude holding, the Jedi sword. He's like, he won because he had the lightsaber sword.
Okay, so the Jedi sword, to be fair, you can't get it anymore.
It was hilarious.
Most of my transmog, I have so much leather gear. So it took me like 3 tries and then I won. My male character, I had to fight a lot harder with because I have a hunter, but I don't have a whole lot of mail for the hunter because it was a leveling stream character. So it's like, we didn't do a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Hattie the human hunter does not have a ton of pretties to choose from. I finally did win with her though, because it was a faction pride one. And I had the Stormwind set from Warlords. And that was from the Shaman, a different character that I had. So I was like, okay, cool. I do have the Stormwind armor. I can make this look really good. And I have, like, you know, the tabard and everything. And I have the cool blue admiral's hat. Okay, we'll make her look really neat. And then I put her together and they voted me first place. So I got the male set that I was after. And then, my priest. So my priest is still at level 100. I haven't leveled her through Legion content yet. And that's actually next on my list of things to do, because I need to get her to max level. I took her in and it said, and I think the theme was like Heroes of Azeroth or something like that. I don't remember. And I went the really cheap route and I transmogged all of the recolored judgment set from the Wrath of the Lich King launch event along with the Argent Protector Tabard from the same event. And I had Anathema. So it was basically, here is this old school character with all this gear you can't get anymore. Vote me in. And I got first place. It was great. I just kicked it old school enough that all of the people there were like, oh man, I remember that set. Okay, you're first place.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, Daryl, do you have any more questions?
Well, this relates to the Outlaw, and I've been trying to, I can't really break in when Anne gets going, so I just let her go.
I'm so sorry. You should just tell me to shut up, and but I will. Said, I promise.
But this question just popped up as soon as you said the Outlaw had to go fight a Dread Pirate, and I just wanted to know if it was Dread Pirate Roberts.
No, it was, her name was Eliza. I don't know if she had a last name. I think it was just Eliza.
They missed something there, too.
They did. They could have gone really cool with it. The quest to get the rogue, like the Dreadblades, it's a difficult quest because it takes a lot of skill to get to where she's at. But once you get to her, beating her isn't so terribly hard as all that. Mm-hmm. It's just getting to her that's kind of a pain in the butt.
The amount of sneaking that you have to do.
There's a lot of sneaking involved.
And like I was saying, though, like, Outlaw and sneaking aren't really that's not really what that spec thrives off of.
Right.
So it's like you can sneak around. You do have the ability to, you know, to go invis or whatever, but it's a little rough. There's so much like skirting around and guard dogs and all these stuff everywhere. It's just like, it hurt.
Yeah. It was, particularly for players that have been playing combat, switching from combat to outlaw, it was, I don't want to say it was a jarring transition, but there was definitely a transition involved where you were used to playing a certain way. And on the one hand, it didn't change too much because some of these attacks, it's like, oh, okay, this is what this other attack was. It just has a different name now and a different animation. Okay. But then you also get stuff like Roll the Bones that were kind of thrown in there that adds a new element that they have to deal with. So it's like the spec that they maybe knew really, really, really super well and knew how to play it like the back of their hand, it's not there anymore. And I think people were kind of a little bit upset about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Outlaw's not bad though. I don't want to like sit here and diss Outlaw forever. I don't think that it's bad. I think it could use some tweaking and some adjustments maybe. It's not my cup of tea, but that's, like I said, I've been playing Assassination since like Wrath of the Looking. Unless they did some serious stuff to mess it up, I'm not going to stop playing it. Because I like it. I like the feel of Assassination. I like being a master of poison.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it, Ian, unless you had anything else.
No, that's about it for me.
Well, if you haven't already, make sure that you... Oh, what's going on here?
It's not me.
Well, make sure you come and join our official Training Dummies Discord server over at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests that you've heard here on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
Hit it! It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got?
Definitely, Ian. Thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, it hasn't even been a year yet, and we got you back already to talk about Rogue.
So you may have me on here before the year is out, too, depending on what we hear at BlizzCon.
I'm hoping so. I think there's going to be some really awesome announcements. We can nail something down maybe before the holidays.
I'd be cool with that.
And to everybody on the raid team, I was not there this last week. I was celebrating my 16-year anniversary with my beautiful wife, and wanted to congratulate them for holding it down and making some progress and lining us up to nail down that Kill Jaden kill that we're still going after. Daryl, what do you got?
Well, it sounds like I'm just going to echo what you did, as always. But yeah, Anne, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on the show here, and I really enjoy listening to Lore Watch. You and Matt and Joe really, really make that my favorite podcast. It's great listening to all of you.
And then
the ability here doing the Stay Classy. Now we've had all three of you on here in like the last 3 weeks. It's been fantastic. So, a shout out to all three of you actually, because it's a joy listening to the three of you talk about lore and the passion you have for it. And you make it interesting to listen to as well. So I want to thank you again for coming on and talking to us. And like Rob said, it hasn't even been a year, so that's even better. Of course, the raid team, we got close on Kil'jaeden a couple times, so we'll get him next week for sure. I have no doubt. So good job, guys. And I'm excited that my holidays are now over. My vacation's all done, so I won't be missing any more raid nights. So looking forward to getting back to that. Do you have any shout-outs this evening?
Do I have any shout-outs? Now I have to think. Oh, you're making me think. I've thought so much tonight already, Carol. Shout out obviously to everybody on the Blizzard Watch team. And yeah, I'll go ahead and third the whole co-host thing because Matt and Joe make Lore Watch doing Lore Watch an absolute joy. I'm so glad that we got that podcast off the ground. And also, just to the rest of my coworkers over at Blizzard Watch. And more importantly, to the people that are reading Blizzard Watch and maybe even supporting us on Patreon, because it's that support and it's the readers that keeps the site going. And we love what we do. We love writing about what we write about. So we appreciate, everybody that stops by. Same thing goes for Twitter. I don't know why all you people are following me on Twitter. I mean, I guess you're fans of dank orc memes or something, but thanks for following and showing an interest in
amazing
following the stuff that I do, it's all good. And that's it for me.
All right, then. Before we wrap it up, Anne, where's the best place people can reach you if they want to talk about this or anything else?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so the aforementioned Twitter is at Shades O' Grey. That's Shades, the letter O, and then G-R-E-Y. I have nothing to do with the 50 Shades books, please. If you show up for that, you're going to be very disappointed. I'm sorry in advance. You can read my stuff over on blizzardwatch.com. I'm senior managing editor over there. I write a bunch of stuff. The lore columns that I write, they're running on Mondays now, but if you go look up Know Your Lore, you'll find columns from both me and Matt Rossi covering everything from obvious World of Warcraft stuff all the way to Overwatch, and Rossi's currently doing a series on StarCraft because StarCraft Remastered just came out, so why not rehash that story and let people know what exactly was going on with all of that? It's pretty fascinating. You can also catch, I have two podcasts that I do. There's the Blizzard Watch podcast, and that comes out every Thursday on the website. If you want to tune in live, we record on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Central. Pre-show starts at 2:30. And then, of course, there's Lore Watch, because we've talked about it so much already. Lore Watch, it comes out every other Monday. And we have an episode that's due out tomorrow or today. I don't know when you're releasing this podcast.
About 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, hopefully, it comes out tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow on Monday. And then we get an episode out every other Monday. If you happen to be a supporter of us over on Patreon, that's patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. You get early access to Lore Watch, and you also get an uncut version of the Blizzard Watch podcast to listen to. So that's something to consider. Either which way, you can hear us answering questions on Blizzard Watch about general Blizzard games, and you can hear us going on and on and on for an hour about all kinds of crazy lore topics with Lore Watch. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, I guess that wraps up episode 173 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!